Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the College Football Official Study Group. I'm your host, Jim, and we will be talking tonight about the kicking game, Chapter 3. We, of course, as always, are going off the Reading Study Guide to NCAA Rules, Football Rules for 2017. We're going to talk specifically about the rules in brief, and then we're going to answer a couple of questions. So, first and foremost, let's get started. Chapter 3 is on the kicking game. I love what George says about the kicking game here. He says that oftentimes it's one of the most challenging parts of the game because of the fact that we don't see as many plays. We see a lot of running plays, a lot of passing plays, but we see far less kicking games, so it's important that we take a look at it. So we start with free kicks. If a free kick results in a touchback, remember the ball will be long to the receiving team at their 25-yard line instead of their 20-yard line. The ball comes back to the 25 when a free kick results in a touchback. Kicking team A has some restrictions. So when A is the kicking team, they do have some restrictions. Kickoff. Kickoff must be place kick made from some point between the hash marks on team A's restraining line, which is the 35-yard line, unless relocated by a penalty. Free kicks after a safety. Maybe a punt, a drop kick, or a place kick. A place kick must be made on Team A's restraining line. A drop kick or punt may be made anywhere behind Team A's restraining line. The kicking team may not elevate the ball lowest point more than 1 inch above the ground. Let me read that again. The kicking team may not elevate the ball's lowest point more than 1 inch off the ground. All Team A players must be between the 9-yard mark, sometimes after the ready-for-play signal and before the ball is kicked. So we have to have all Team A players between the hash marks before the ball is kicked, sometime after the ready-for-play and before the ball is kicked. When the ball is kicked, all players must be in bounds. They must all be behind the ball except for the holder and the kicker, who may execute a soccer-style kick. At least 4 players must be on each side of the kicker when the ball is kicked. So we need all players must be inbounds. They also must all be behind the ball except for a holder and the kicker who may execute a soccer-style kick. We need at least 4 players on each side of the kicker when the ball is kicked. After the ball has been made ready for play, all players on the kicking team except the kicker must be no more than 5 yards behind their restraining line. So once we have the ready for play, all players on kicking team except the kicker must be no more than 5 yards behind their restraining line. A Team A player who goes out of bounds during the down, unless he is blocked out of bounds and returns immediately, remain out of bounds until the ball becomes dead. If he returns in bounds, it is a foul. There is no such restriction on Team B players. It is not illegal touching, see below, if the player touches the ball. So a Team A player cannot go out of bounds. If he does, if he's blocked, he has to come back immediately. But he must remain out of bounds until the ball becomes dead. If he does return in bounds, it is a foul. There is no same such restriction on Team B. It's not illegal touching, see below, if the player touches the ball. Let's see below. Team A players may not touch the ball until it touches a Team B player, or it touches something or someone behind Team A's restraining line, i.e. 10 yards from Team A's restraining line. And while it is beyond the plane of Team B's restraining line. So Team A players may not touch the ball until it touches a Team B player, it touches something or someone beyond Team B's restraining line, that's 10 yards from Team A's restraining line, and while it's beyond the plane of Team B's restraining line. If Team A touches the kick before at least one of these 3 conditions is satisfied, then it's guilty of illegal touching, which is a violation, not a foul. The ball is alive and continues to be in play. Once the ball becomes dead, it is illegal touching. Violation allows Team B to have possession at any spot where the ball was illegally touched. However, offsetting fouls or an accepted penalty for a live ball foul by either team wipes out this privilege. So let's take a look at that again. The ball is alive and continues to be in play. Once the ball becomes dead, The illegal touching violation allows Team B to have possession at any spot where the ball was illegally touched. However, offsetting fouls are an accepted penalty for a live ball foul by either team wipes out the privilege of Team B to have the ball wherever any illegal touching occurred. Remember, forced touching is no touching. Team A players are not allowed to block an opponent until they are eligible to touch the ball. If the block is otherwise legal, this foul is a 5-yard penalty, which is enforced from the previous spot or from the dead ball spot if Team B is in possession of the ball. A block that is illegal in any event carries its normal penalty, i.e. blocking below the waist, for example, would result in a 15-yard penalty. Once Team A players become eligible to touch the kick, they may catch or recover it, but they may not advance it. The ball becomes dead if Team A catches or recovers it while it is still a kick. Once again, so a Team A player becomes eligible to touch the kick. Once the Team A player becomes eligible to touch the kick, they may not catch it or recover it. They may recover it or catch it, but they may not advance it. The ball becomes dead if Team A catches or recovers it while it is still a kick. Let's talk a little bit about the receiving team, Team B's restrictions. First and foremost, all players must be inbounds when the ball is kicked. All players must remain at least 10 yards from Team A's restraining line until the ball is kicked, but otherwise may be anywhere on the field. Team B may not block the kicker until he has gone 5 yards beyond his restraining line or until the kick has touched something. This foul carries a previous spot penalty of 15 yards for an illegal block. Let's read that again. Team B may not block the kicker until he has gone 5 yards beyond his restraining line or until the kick has touched something. This foul carries a previous spot penalty of 25 yards for an illegal block. It is illegal for 3 or more members of the receiving team to intentionally form a wedge for the purpose of blocking for the ball carrier after the ball has been kicked, except when the kick is in an obvious onside kick formation. Let's look at that one again as well. It is illegal for 3 or more members of the receiving team to intentionally form a wedge for the purpose of blocking for the ball carrier after the ball has been kicked, except when the kick is from an obvious onside kick formation. Now let's talk about free kicks out of bounds. If a free kick goes out of bounds in the field of play before B touches it, whether or not it is touched by Team A, it is a foul by Team A. Team B may have the choice of one of the following. Have Team A re-kick with a 5-yard penalty. Put the ball in play 5 yards beyond the inbound spot on the field line where the ball went out of bounds. Or put the ball in play 30 yards beyond Team A's restraining line at the inbound spot on the side of the field which the ball went out of bounds. So they have their 3 options. If Team A kicks it out of bounds, Team B has 3 options, and those are re-kick with a 5-yard penalty, put the ball in play 5 yards beyond the inbound spot where the ball went out of bounds, or put the ball in play 30 yards beyond Team A's restraining line at the inbound spot on the side of the field where the ball went out. Let's talk a little bit about fouls during a free kick. If Team A commits a live ball foul, Team B may elect to have the penalty enforced either at the previous spot and the down replayed or at the subsequent dead ball spot where they will have possession of the football. If there is a change in possession, the penalty for a foul by Team A cannot be enforced from the previous spot. There are 2 penalties that do not have previous spot enforcements. The first one is blocking by a receiving team player who has made a valid or invalid fair catch signal. The second one is interference by the kicking team with the opportunity to catch the football. So the 2 penalties that do not have previous spot enforcement on free kicks are, number 1, blocking by a receiving team player who has made a valid or invalid fair catch signal, and then secondly, interference by a kicking team with the opportunity to catch the kick. The latter 2 penalties are enforced from the spot of the foul, with the receiving team retaining possession. There is nothing similar to post-scrimmage kick enforcement for free kicks. Once Team B gets possession of the live ball, then the kick is over. The penalty for any subsequent foul is enforced as in any other running play. Straightforward. Well, let's talk a little bit more about scrimmage kicks then. We got through free kicks. Let's talk a little bit about scrimmage kicks. A scrimmage kick is a legal kick made in or behind the neutral zone during a scrimmage down. It may be a punt, a drop kick, a field goal place kick, including one attempted on a try. When Team A is in a scrimmage kick formation, the defense may not initiate contact with the snapper for 1 second following the snap. So when Team A is in a clear scrimmage kick formation, the defense may not initiate contact with the snapper for 1 second following the snap. A scrimmage kick is legal as long as the kicker's entire body is not beyond the neutral zone when the kick is made. So it's legal as long as his entire body is not beyond the neutral zone when it is made. The ball is dead as soon as it is kicked from beyond the neutral zone. And the penalty is a 5 yards from the previous spot plus loss of down. So if we do get an illegal kick, if the ball is kicked from beyond the neutral zone, it is dead immediately, and the penalty is a 5 yards from the previous spot plus loss of down. That's interesting. That's a previous spot foul. Team B, the receiving team, may always advance any scrimmage kick unless they have signaled for a fair catch, either valid or invalid. If the scrimmage kick goes out of bounds between the goal line, or if it comes to rest inbounds and no one attempts to secure it, the ball belongs to the receiving team, regardless of the down or who touched it last or whether or not it crossed the neutral zone. If the kick is ruled in joint possession of opposing players, the ball is dead and belongs to the receiving team. If a team player, A player, goes out of bounds during the down, unless he is blocked out and returns immediately, he must stay out of bounds for the rest of the play. It is a foul if he returns in bounds. There is no such restriction on Team B players. It is not illegal touching except below if the player touches the ball. The blocking of the scrimmage kick by an opponent of the kicking team who is no more than 3 yards beyond the neutral zone is considered to have occurred within or behind the neutral zone. That's key. The blocking of a scrimmage kick by an opponent of the kicking team who is no more than 3 yards beyond the neutral zone is considered to have occurred within or behind that zone. Team B players may not attempt to block a punt by jumping over Team A players behind the neutral zone inside the tackle box. So a Team B player may not attempt to block a punt by jumping over a Team A player behind the neutral zone inside the tackle box. The key question really when it comes to scrimmage kicks is, did the scrimmage kick cross the neutral zone? If the answer is no, if the scrimmage kick did not cross the neutral zone, either team may catch or recover the ball and advance it. If a team play A player gets it, he may run, pass, or even kick the ball again. The continuity downs is not broken, even if Team B touches the ball. As long as the ball does not cross the line of scrimmage, then either team may catch or recover the ball and advance it. If a Team A player gets it, he may run, pass, or even kick the ball again. The key concept here is the continuity of downs is not broken, even if Team B player does touch the ball. If the kick does cross the neutral zone, if the scrimmage kick does cross the neutral zone, the continuity of downs is considered broken, so there is no longer a line to gain or a neutral zone. If Team B is the first to touch the kick, then Team A may recover or catch it and retain possession, but under no circumstances may Team A advance the kick. The ball is dead as soon as Team A gets possession in bounds. Team A may not be the first to touch the ball. If this happens, it is the violation, illegal touching. Remember, forced touching is no touching. Okay, what is illegal touching? If a Team A player is the first to touch a scrimmage kick that has crossed the neutral zone, then Team B may elect to have the next ball put in play at any spot of the illegal touching unless there are offsetting fouls, or there is an accepted penalty for a foul by either team during the down, or either of the above cancels the illegal touching privilege. So if we have offsetting fouls or if there's an accepted penalty, it cancels the illegal touching privilege of Team B. There's a special case here. If a teammate player bats a scrimmage kick that has broken the plane of Team B's goal line and the ball has not been touched by Team B beyond the neutral zone, Team B's 20-yard line is taken to be the spot of the illegal touching. So if a Team A player bats a scrimmage kick that has broken the plane of Team B's goal line and the ball has not been touched by Team B beyond the neutral zone, Team B's 20-yard line is taken to be the spot of illegal touching. Illegal touching in Team A's end zone is ignored. Good. Let's talk about field goals then. Field goal attempts are scrimmage kicks. The usual rules apply with this wrinkle. Field goal kicks are scrimmage kicks. The usual rules apply with this wrinkle. If an unsuccessful field goal attempt crosses the neutral zone and the ball becomes dead there before Team B touches it beyond the neutral zone, Team B will get the ball either at the 20-yard line or at the previous spot, whichever one is further from Team B's goal line. So if we have an unsuccessful field goal, Team B gets the choice with the ball either at the 20-yard line or from the previous spot, whichever is further from the goal line. Note this applies only if the ball becomes dead beyond the neutral zone. The seceding spot will be affected by the penalty for post-scrimmage kick fouls, in which case the 20 or the previous spot serves as the end of the kick. It is a personal foul if the defensive player lands on an opponent or on a teammate after running forward beyond the neutral zone and leaping in an obvious attempt to block a field goal or kick try. Wow, I didn't know a teammate. So it is a personal foul if a defensive player lands on an opponent or on a teammate after running forward beyond the neutral zone and leaping in an obvious attempt to block the field goal or try kick. It is illegal for three defensive players to line up shoulder to shoulder and move forward on a place kick with the primary contact against a single Team A player. The penalty for this infraction is 5 yards from the previous spot. So it's illegal for three defensive players to line up shoulder to shoulder and to move forward on a place kick with the primary contact being against one single Team A player. It's a five-yard penalty from the previous spot. We're going to talk a little bit more about the try. The try is a scrimmage kick, but has some special rules applies to it. We're going to talk about it in Chapter 9 and 11. Let's talk about fouls during scrimmage kicks, though. If Team A commits a live ball foul and the ball crosses the neutral zone, Team B may elect to have the penalty enforced either at the previous spot in the down replay or at the subsequent dead ball spot where they will have possession of the ball. This rule does not apply to field goals. So if Team A commits a live ball foul and the ball crosses the neutral zone, Team B may elect to have the penalty enforced either at the previous spot in the down replay or at the subsequent dead ball spot where they have possession of the ball. The rule does not apply to field goals. There is one exception. The penalty for kick catch interference is a spot foul. So the one exception to this is when Team A commits the foul of kick catch interference, it's a spot foul. Penalties for Team B fouls during scrimmage kick plays are enforced from the previous spot, unless the foul is governed by post-scrimmage kick rules enforcement. PSK, here it comes. Post-scrimmage kick enforcement. When Team B fouls during a scrimmage kick, other than on a try, a successful field goal, or during an extra point, post-scrimmage kick enforcement applies. If and only if all these conditions are satisfied. Number one, the kick has to cross the neutral zone. Number two, the foul takes place before the end of the kick, the ball becomes into possession or becomes dead. So the foul must take place before the end of the kick. And then finally, Team B will be the next one to put the ball in play. So we need three conditions to satisfy post-scrimmage kick enforcement. Number one, the kick has to cross the neutral zone. Number two, the foul must take place before the end of the kick. And then, of course, number three, the Team B would be the next to put the ball in play. We're going to have a complete discussion of PSK enforcement in Chapter 11. Let's talk about contacting the kicker. When it's obvious that a scrimmage kick will be made, the defense may not rough or run into a kicker or a holder. There is no foul if the contact is by a defensive player who blocks the kicker. When a defensive player contact against a kicker or holder is caused by an opponent's block, whether it's illegal or legal, there is no foul for running into or roughing the kicker. If a kicker carries the ball outside the tackle box, he loses the protection provided as a kicker. So if a kicker carries the ball outside the tackle box, he loses the protection of the ball provided as a kicker. He loses the protection provided as a kicker. The tackle box is a rectangular area enclosed by the neutral zone. Two parallel lines to the sidelines, 5 yards from the snapper, and all the way back to team's A's end line. There's some rules that are common to both free kicks and scrimmage kicks. First and foremost, a return kick is a kick that is made after a change of possession. It is an illegal kick and causes the ball to become dead immediately. It's a 5-yard penalty and it's enforced from the spot of the foul. Fair catch rules apply to free kicks anywhere on the field and to scrimmage kicks that have crossed the neutral zone. Fair catch protection is given to a player who makes a valid fair catch signal. To give a valid fair catch signal, the player must extend his hand above his head and wave it side to side more than once before the ball touches the ground or any other player. Any waving signal that does not satisfy these requirements is an invalid signal. The ball is dead when Team B player gets possession after any waving signal is given, including if he signals after he gets possession. So that's a key component here. Let's talk about that again. Fair catch protection is given to a player who makes a valid fair catch signal. To give a valid fair catch signal, a player must extend his hand above his head and wave it side to side more than once before the ball touches the ground or any other player. Any waving signal that does not satisfy these requirements is an invalid signal. Now, the ball is dead when a Team B player gets possession after any waving signal is given, including if he singles after he gets possession. On a free kick, a player of the receiving team who is in position to receive the ball has the same kick catch and fair catch protections whether the ball is kicked directly off a tee or is immediately driven into the ground. Striking the ground once and going into the air in a manner of the ball being kicked directly off the tee. So if on a free kick a player of the receiving team who is in position to receive the ball has the same kick catch and fair catch protection whether the ball is kicked directly off the tee into the air or it is immediately driven into the ground, strikes the ground once, and goes into the air in a manner in which the ball kicked directly off the tee. A receiving team player in position to catch a free kick or a scrimmage kick must have an unmolested opportunity to do so. Before the receiver touches the ball, Team A players cannot enter the area defined by the width of the receiver's shoulder, extending 1 yard in front of him. There's our famous 1 yard. Before the receiver touches the ball, Team A players cannot enter the area defined by the width of the receiver's shoulder and extending 1 yard in front of him. And we're seeing a lot more of those flybys these days, but the rule is a Team A player cannot enter the area defined by the width of the receiver's shoulder and extending 1 yard in front of him. Whether or not there is interference is in the judgment of the covering official. The penalty for kick catch interference is a 15-yard penalty, whether or not there is contact. So whether or not the player makes contact, it's a 15-yard penalty. A player who has made a valid fair catch signal continues to have protection if he muffs the ball and still has a chance to complete the catch. So if we get a fair catch signal, that protection continues even if he muffs the ball, he must still have the chance to complete the catch. For illegal touching, a kicking team player may not be the first to touch a scrimmage kick that has crossed the neutral zone or free kick that has not gone 10 yards. Remember, forced touching is no touching. Blocking below the waist except against a runner is prohibited everywhere on the field during any kick. Blocking below the waist except against the runner is prohibited anywhere, everywhere on the field during a kicking kickdown. Illegal kicking the ball carries a 10-yard penalty. Now let's talk a little bit about the momentum rule. The momentum rule applies when a Team B player catches or recovers a kick between his 5-yard line and the goal line, and his momentum carries him into the end zone. This is not a safety. Team B will have the ball at the spot of the catch or recovery if the following happens. If the ball is declared dead in the end zone in his possession, the ball is fumbled and goes out of bounds through the end zone. The ball is fumbled towards the field of play, but then goes out of bounds. So, the momentum rule applies when a Team B player catches or recovers a kick between his 5-yard line and the goal line, and his momentum carries him into the end zone. It is not a safety. Team B will have the ball at the spot of the catch or recovery if any of the following applies. The ball is declared dead in the end zone in his team's possession. The ball is fumbled and goes out of the end zone, out of the bounds from the end zone. The ball is fumbled forward onto the field of play and then goes out of bounds. Remember, Team B will have the ball in those situations. Dead ball. A kick becomes dead when it goes out of bounds, which includes touching a player or an official who is on the outside of the sidelines, when it strikes the ground in Team B's end zone without having been touched by Team B. It doesn't matter whether or not Team A touches the ball legally or illegally. When a Team B player makes a fair catch, and when a Team B player gains possession of the ball after he or a teammate gives a waving signal. The kick also becomes dead when a Team B player gives a fair catch signal and gains possession of the ball. When a Team A player catches or recovers a free kick or scrimmage kick that has crossed the neutral zone, whether or not he is eligible to touch it, the ball is immediately dead. The ball becomes dead when the ball comes to rest inbounds with no one attempting to secure it. The ball belongs to the receiving team. The ball also becomes dead when it is declared in joint position of opposing players. And then, of course, the ball belongs to the receiving team. Okay, that's our study of the kicking game. Now let's take a look at a couple of questions. So the first question that we have here is, Team A kicks off from the A35. Only three Team B players are between A45 and midfield. During the kick, A65 blocks in the back at the B45. Oopa. A23 then does two things. First, he returns the kick to the B30, or he returns it for a touchdown. Let's take a look at the first scenario first. So Team A kicks off from the 35. Team B has only three players that are between the A45 and midfield. So really there's no foul for that because we know there's no restriction on where Team B's player are. So we're just going to cross that one off. Team B's player, doesn't matter where they are. On this play, they're between A45 and midfield. It doesn't matter. During the kick, A65 blocks in the back at the B45. Okay, so we got a foul there. Now let's say B32 returns the kick to the B30. So there's no foul by Team B, we know that. But A65 block is illegal. In A, Team B is going to accept the 10-yard penalty for the block in the back foul from either the previous spot and have them re-kick it, or the succeeding spot. In this case, we'd probably take the succeeding spot, but they might want to have them re-kick it. Now let's say we have that same play where during a free kick, A65 blocks in the back at the B45. And this time, B32 returns it for a touchdown. Then, the touchdown counts. The penalty for A65 fouled is automatically declined by rule because the foul is not a personal foul, and hence, the penalty does not carry over. I like that play just because it's kind of simple, but it has a couple of key components to it. Let's go to the next question. The next question is, A19 attempts an onside kick by kicking the ball into the ground and popping it up. B62 then blocks A95 at the A39-yard line. Whoopsie. Is that a foul? So we have A19 attempts an onside kick by kicking the ball into the ground and popping it up. B62 then blocks A19. Oh, so B is the one that's blocking A19 at the 39-yard line. This, of course, is a legal block, and the kick having touched the ground makes it legal. So there's no blocking restriction there once the kick has hit the ground. All right, let's read one more. B42 is offside on A29's onside kick. A89 legally recovers the ball at A41. So we got B42 who's offsides on A49's onside kick. A89 legally recovers the ball. Well, in this case, of course, Team A must really decline the penalty for B42's foul in order to keep the ball. It'll be the teammate's ball first and 10 at the B41. Cool. Let's look at a couple more. Let's look at this one. Fourth and 10 at B's 40. Team A punts from a formation in which there are five players in the backfield at the snap. A88 is the first to touch the kick when he reaches across the plane of Team B's goal line and bats the ball backwards onto the field of play. The ball rolls dead at the B5 yard line. The illegal touch violation spot is the B20. Team B may have the penalty enforced either at the previous spot to give 4th and 15 at B's 45 or at the B's 5-yard line. If Team B declines the penalty, the illegal touching gives the ball to Team B at 1st and 10 at the B20. That's in AR6311V. So let's read that one again. 4th and 10 at B's 40. Team A punts the ball from a formation in which there's five players in the backfield at the snap. Team A, so we have the foul there. Team A is the first to touch the kick when it reaches the crosses the plane of Team B's goal line and bats the ball backward into the field of play. The ball rolls dead at the B5. So we have illegal touching, and we know that the spot for that is the B20. Team B may have the penalty enforced either from the previous spot, giving it 4th and 15 at B's 45-yard line, or at the B5. If B declines the penalty, the illegal touching gives the ball to Team B 1st and 10 at the 20. That's an interesting play. Okay, let's get the next one. Team A snaps the ball at the B31. Its field goal attempt is unsuccessful. Team B touches the ball at the B5 and it rolls out of bounds at the B3. Oh. It'll be Team B's ball, 1st and 10 at the B's 3, and the clock is going to start on the snap. So we have a change of possession, so that's going to make the clock start on the snap. But the ball is actually going to be on the 3-yard line where we had the scrimmage kick, an unsuccessful scrimmage kick get touched by B. I like that rule too. It'll be Team B's ball, 1st and 10 at B3. And the clock, of course, is going to start on the snap. Wonderful. Well, thank you guys all for listening tonight. I appreciate it. We will be talking about next week. We're going to be moving into Chapter 4, which is our scrimmage requirements for live and dead ball plays. And we are going to go through and do a little bit more studying and read the rest of these rules. And we're going to see you and talk to you guys all next week. Thank you guys so much for listening, and have a great day.